Euro MPs approve a new deal giving U.S. terror investigators access to Europeans' bank data. The U.S. gives BP 24 hours to outline its next steps to contain the Gulf of Mexico oil spill.
You're watching World News here on Press TV. We're coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Iran's president says Tehran will never stop its nuclear activities. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has said new UN Security Council resolutions will have no effect on Iran's nuclear program. He was addressing a group of scholars in the Nigerian capital, Abuja. The UN Security Council and the United States have imposed a new set of sanctions on Iran, accusing Tehran of pursuing nuclear weapons. Iran says it needs nuclear power plants to meet its growing domestic energy demands. The United States has promised Israel, the only nuclear weapon possessor in the Middle East, help to develop its nuclear program.
Israel's army says the U.S. promise has come in a secret document sent to Israel. Here's more.
The Israeli army says Washington has committed itself to sell Tel Aviv fissile materials used in the nuclear industry. It also says the White House has agreed to publicly declare that Israel, which is a non-signatory to the NPT, is acting responsibly. But what could the U.S. commitment amount to in the face of Israeli nuclear weapons proliferation?
We saw that last month or the month before over the negotiations of the non-proliferation treaty, where the United States simply went ahead in April and held its own conference, the largest international conference it's hosted since 1945. In a way, you could say, to trump the non-proliferation treaty conference. So there's a whole pattern there that the United States simply doesn't want international bodies to play any kind of independent role.
U.S. President Barack Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2009 just solely for expressing an intention to reduce nuclear weapons and their proliferation.
Talk the talk, as they say, but not walk the walk. He's changed the rhetoric, but he hasn't changed the substance of things.
But on Tuesday, in a meeting with visiting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Obama emphasized that the United States will continue its long-standing practice of working closely with Israel. He said this to ensure that arms control initiatives and policies do not detract from Israel's security. But this kind of assurance doesn't seem enough for Israel. Netanyahu has asked the White House to supply Israel with more weapons to maintain what it calls its strategic advantage over its Arab neighbors. Israel is asking for additional aid from the U.S. while it has been the largest recipient of direct economic and military assistance from Washington since the Second World War. The Congressional Research Service says since 1985, the U.S. has annually provided nearly $3 billion worth of military hardware to Israel. In other words, Israelis receive at least $7 million from American taxpayers every day. But with the Obama administration's new commitments and military aid kept up for Israel, where does the slogan of change that brought Obama to
its size?
In the U.S., a judge has ordered all 10 Russian citizens suspected of espionage to be immediately expelled.
Well, this comes after the suspects pleaded guilty to spying for a foreign country. The suspects only pled guilty to the first charge of acting as an illegal foreign agent. But money laundering charges were dropped. The U.S. Justice Department says Russia has agreed to release four people accused of working for Western intelligence agencies in return for the 10 suspects. Both Russia and the U.S. are worried that a prolonged trial may expose sensitive information to the media. Well, for more on that case now, we're joined by Colin Campbell, Press TV's correspondent in Washington. Colin, can you tell us what's the latest from on the ground there?
Well, obviously, this big spy trade is the big news now. We've been following these developments for the past several days, and one can't help but think the expediency at which this is happening is an effort for Russia and the U.S. to put this behind them as soon as possible. If we remember, it seemed like only a week ago when the big news came out that these spies were discovered, and now they already have reached a deal where 10 spies are going to be sent back to Russia At least nine, that is. There's might be the 10th one may not be a Russian national, and that's, of course, the details are emerging about that. So to say accurately, nine will be sent back to Russia and four spies here. It's also interesting that the four spies that will be returned to the U.S., or at least to the West, are all Russian nationals, and it kind of speaks to the strength and hand of which Russia has in this whole exchange of spies that they have captured that have been proven to supply information to the West, for the spies that have been in the U.S. that have really not been charged with actual spying. What they've been charged with is not revealing that they work for an information agency, for a foreign agency overseas, and that they collect international monies. So it hasn't really been proven that they have spied, or that there hasn't been any real hard evidence. Of course, there's lots of speculation, and there is some evidence that that's what their intent was. But they haven't been charged with that, and I think that's important to point out. But those are the spies that are leaving the United States to go back over there. So you have, what I'm saying is, you have these spies that seemed a lot more in depth, captured in Russia, spying for the U.S., and then you have these spies over here that look like they were not quite infiltrated in the way that they should have been, or that they in the way that they wanted to be, and those are the spies that the U.S. is releasing to Russia. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic there, that it seems that Russia is acquiescing a little bit in this whole exchange.
Right, Colin, you mentioned the swiftness with which this case has been handled. Can this be seen as a move by either side to please the other, especially with reservations about the missile systems in Europe still in the air?
Well, it's hard to say if these implications are related to any type of military weaponry. Again, and the reason I say this especially is because the spies that were, or the alleged spies that were captured here, who were supposed to be returned to Russia, were essentially supposed to infiltrate the more think tank and policy circles. Not so much hardcore military or weapon systems information, but more to influence policy in the United States. I do feel, however, that both sides do want to appease each other, especially since the week prior to that, if you remember when Russian President Medvedev was here with President Obama and they were having lunch together, and it seemed like they were trying to put past this kind of Cold War type of distrust for each other. And I think this is what effectively has been somewhat damaged due to the revelation of the spies or alleged spies that were captured here. So, yes, in a way, they are trying to appease each other, and I think that that's proven in the fact that this swap is supposed to take place in the next 48 hours. I mean, 9 out of 10 of these spies will be returned to Russia. The 10th one, I believe, is trying to find a different sort of deal, but again, it's still part of this this swap and trying to put this all behind and trying to move forward with more harmonious relations between Russia and the United States.
All right, Colin, we will, of course, keep a very close eye on that. That was Colin Campbell, Press TV's correspondent, joining us there on the line from Washington.
Well, moving on now, the European Union has approved a new bill allowing the U.S. to access its citizens' bank data. The deal gives the U.S. the right to use data from a firm called SWIFT, which handles millions of bank transactions each day. The vote comes after a previous agreement was blocked by the European Parliament back in February. Washington says the deal is crucial in its fight against what it calls terrorism. The bill passed with 484 MPs in favor and 109 against the legislation. Back in 2006, the U.S. was caught secretly accessing data of millions of Europeans from SWIFT banks, damaging its image among Europe.
Well, the U.S. government has given BP 24 hours to outline its next steps in dealing with the oil spill disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. The U.S. government's incident commander says the firm must hand over detailed plans and timelines. Thad Allen says the information is needed before BP is allowed to change caps on a ruptured oil well. BP is preparing to replace the containment cap on the ruptured wellhead with another seal, but while the caps are being changed, the amount of oil gushing out will increase. This while the U.S. National Hurricane Center has issued a warning about a tropical depression in the Gulf of Mexico. Tropical storms could disrupt efforts to contain oil spill. A British man who has been held in prison for 6 years awaiting extradition to the U.S. has had his extradition put on hold by the European Court of Human Rights.
And the court said it was concerned that he could face cruel and unusual punishment in the U.S. Our correspondent Hassan Ghani reports from London, but let us warn our viewers that Hassan's report includes images that some might find disturbing.
Babar Ahmed is the longest-serving prisoner held without charge or trial in the UK. For 6 years, he's been held in custody awaiting extradition to the US, where the authorities suspect him of terrorism-related activity. His involvement in running a website related to Chechen fighters in the Caucasus isn't considered a crime in the UK, but it is in the US. Babar Ahmed has taken his appeal against extradition to the European Court of Human Rights and has been demanding that he be tried in the UK, where the alleged crimes are supposed to have taken place. Now the European Court has ordered a halt to the extradition process. Concerns over possible cruel and unusual punishment Ahmed could face if sent to the US. The news has been welcomed by his family and friends.
I mean, we're pleased with the decision ultimately because it means that Babar is not being extradited right now. Also, it means that the European Court is deeply disturbed by the prison conditions in America, concerned enough that they're going to look at it in further detail to prevent Babar's extradition. We are optimistic. We've been optimistic for the last 6 years, and we are continuing to be optimistic because at the end of the day, this is in God's hands.
The British police have also faced serious criticism for their handling of the case after Ahmed sustained 73 injuries in their custody following his initial arrest in 2003. Last year, here at the Royal Courts of Justice in London, the Metropolitan Police admitted having subjected Babar Ahmed to grave abuse, tantamount to torture, during his arrest in December 2003. He was offered £60,000 in compensation, but to this day he remains imprisoned, awaiting extradition to the US. For the family, it's been a particularly difficult time.
We can't have all those years back. Best part of his life he has spent there. The whole life has been turned upside down. And so we can imagine that how difficult it is for us. But when he comes out, inshallah, soon. In fact, only recently we gave him a new pair of shoes. And I said to Baba, I said, in this pair of shoes you will come out soon.
The European Court's decision to suspend the extradition also applies to several other men wanted by the US. The final ruling, which is expected in several months' time, could have major implications for the UK-US extradition treaty. In the meantime, it's possible the treaty could be modified by the British government. The new Conservative and Liberal Democrat coalition has previously voiced opposition to the agreement and has pledged to change it. Hassan Ghani, Press TV, London.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. President Ahmadinejad says Iran will never stop its nuclear activities. Moscow is to swap 4 Western spies for the 10 Russians arrested in the U.S. Euro MPs approve a new deal giving U.S. terror investigators access to Europeans' bank data. The U.S. gives BP 24 hours to outline its next steps to contain the Gulf of Mexico oil spill.
Well, coming up in the next half of the bulletin, right here on Press TV, the Palestinian Center for Art and Culture takes up an initiative about Jerusalem al-Quds. Stay tuned to find out more. Iran's embassy in London has denied claims that an Iranian woman is going to be executed by stoning. The embassy has said Iran's judicial officials have rejected reports that Sakineh Mohammadi Ashtiani will be stoned. It also says such a punishment has not been cited in the draft Islamic Penal Code being deliberated in the Iranian parliament. This came after British officials expressed concern following reports that convicted Ashtiani faced stoning punishment for adultery. People in Gaza say they do not feel any tangible improvement after Israel's recent decision to ease its four-year blockade.
Press TV's Yusuf Al-Hilu has more details.
Forced by the international community, Israel eased its four-year blockade of Gaza. But the Palestinians are not happy with the situation, as they can still get the newly allowed items through the underground tunnels for unreal and tangible improvement to take place. Gazans say they need construction and raw materials, and that they must be allowed to export their products.
What we need is construction materials to rebuild our homes and raw materials to operate our factories. We want our business back. We want our life condition to improve, and this can be done by creating jobs to earn a living.
Despite the new development, Gazans still rely on tunnels to bring in construction materials, such as cement and iron. But locals complain of their low quality and high prices. Israel published last Sunday an 11-page booklet, which for the first time sets out a list of controlled items that will still be banned. These include dual-use items, including carbon fabric tape, chopped glass fibers, gas tankers, drilling equipment, and epoxy resins.
We are forced to use cement and steel brought in via tunnels from the Egyptian side at much higher price. We cannot wait for another 4 years until Israel agrees to allow cement. Israel is deceiving the world. This cannot be tolerated anymore.
Under the new measures, materials such as steel, cement, certain fertilizers and chemicals will only be allowed in for those projects approved by the Palestinian Authority and supervised by the UN or other international agencies. These materials will not be for the use of Palestinians, even though aid agencies say Gaza needs them for reconstruction projects.
The Israel's claim of easing the blockade is an illusion. Allowing cement under international supervision only for internationally funded projects will not solve the real problem, which is the reconstruction of Gaza.
The government of Hamas has dismissed the new measures as politically motivated and says the land, sea and air blockade should be fully lifted. Along with the rest of the international community, the European Union has also urged Israel to end the blockade.
The EU has expressed to Israel its desire to see the blockade of Gaza ended. It has also declared that the situation in Gaza remains unsustainable. The continued policy of closure is unacceptable and politically counterproductive. The EU calls for an urgent and fundamental change of policy, leading to a durable solution to the situation in Gaza. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
Palestinian Center for Art and Culture has launched an initiative to implement nearly 62,000 embossed models that represent Jerusalem Al-Quds.
And the models will be distributed to the Palestinian refugee families in Syria.
Under the title of Jerusalem Al-Quds is our home and exists in every house, the Palestinian Center for Art and Culture has launched a new project in Al-Yarmouk refugee camp south of Damascus. The initiative aims to make around 62,000 symbolic embossed models of Jerusalem made of gypsum for Palestinian refugees in Syria. A number of volunteers began the work early this month.
We wanted to do something for our society, for our community here, to keep Jerusalem in our minds and to keep the people aware about what's happening there, yani, to keep the idea alive that Palestine, Jerusalem, is Arabic, and we want to keep it this way.
Many volunteers have dedicated their times and efforts to the project. They make the models through a number of easy steps before drying them up under the sun to be sent to the Palestinian families in Syria.
The project we are doing here is a great project. It brings to the minds of the young people, especially the core of the issue, you know, because Jerusalem is going under a lot of pressures these days and building a lot of settlements. We are trying here to keep this issue alive in the minds of the young people.
August is the month in which the project will be finished in a special ceremony. The initiative carries a huge symbolic message to the Palestinians. Palestinians want East Jerusalem al-Quds as the capital of their future state, and the city's borders have been the subject of many bilateral talks. A strong longing for peace is symbolized by the peace monument facing the old city wall near the Palestinian-Jordanian borders. Hamad Ali, Press TV, Damascus.
Well, that's all for this edition of the World News here on Press TV. Be sure to visit our website, presstv.r3.